I was talking about in the program before about my black heroes. Let me say one more time, I'm not one of those white people who's groveling over great black inventors and all that stuff and oppression and stuff. I'm just talking about the black people I admire. As I say, Porch Talk, which is the name of this program, is where the old guy sitting on the porch, and if you're a southerner, if you're black or white, you've been there, you listen to the old guy talk. And what the old guy is saying is what he is saying. There are no implications or sociological subtexts or so forth. I mean, it may be, if you're a full-time professor and you're looking desperately for a master's degree thesis or something like that, you're going to analyze the hell out of it. But the guy sitting there talking like me, he's just talking about who he's talking about. Anyway, before, I was talking about Kwame Ture. Stokely Carmichael was his Christian given name, and he's one of my heroes. Now, I said my press man used to go to the Ethiopian restaurant about every week, and they'd sit down and talk. And the reason they'd sit down and talk was because we were both worried about our race, and there were no compromises, no discussion, we're both universalists and we both are all mankind, all that stuff. He was a black man, we were white man. Now that's a rather weird combination in our day, but I've always been kind of weird. But one thing, I talked about the comment that Kwame Ture made about, God, he was sick of hearing that the only massacre in history was 6 million Jews. Now, when he said that, of course, that was anti-Semitism. That's what he always, a lot of people say anti-white. They talk about Louis Farrakhan or Stokely or Kwame Ture as being anti-white. But I have never heard anyone complain about what they said that was anti-white. What they said was, he's anti-white and anti-Semitic. So the anti-white comments, they would try to sound mainline, but their attacks on Louis Farrakhan and Kwame Ture were basically because they didn't have the right attitude toward the Jewish thing that Jews are worried about. As I say, in Europe, if you get the wrong number of Jews who were killed by Hitler, you go to prison. In fact, I know some people who have gone to prison because they didn't dispute the Nazis killed Jews. The Nazis did not like Jews. Even a redneck like me has to admit that Nazis did not like Jews. And they were very mean to you and treated them terribly. But as one Jew said to me, the Holocaust has ruined Judaism because all they talk about is the Holocaust. And from his point of view, there's a little more to Judaism than the Holocaust. I often say that the degenerate version of Christianity ends up being self-hatred. You know, we hate ourselves. We're such low beings, and we should punish ourselves and all that sort of thing. You've been through it. Well, the degenerate form of Judaism, which actually bothers some Jews, is that it becomes nothing but self-pity. Instead of worrying about the philosophy of Judaism or the religion of Judaism or the tradition of Judaism, they're talking about the Holocaust, the Holocaust, the Holocaust. And this, of course, has lots of money in it and so forth. But there are a lot of Jews who have this weird idea that there is more to Judaism than self-pity. So, anyway, transitioning back, Lord knows how, to what I appreciated about Kwame Tumi, Stokely Carmichael, the founder of the Black Panthers, was that, and this is a little hard to, we have to go back to some history, and that's what old guys like me are for. There was a big battle, or a big situation where a Southerner who had the proper attitude in the old segregationist days was supposed to say, Negro. Now, again, this may be a little alien today, but to us, that is not how Southerners talk. We do not use hard. You can listen to me and you can tell I kind of, I don't use hard vowels. Oh, grow, knee, and so forth. I just sort of talk, and it's very, like, gentle talk. And for a Southerner to say knee, grow, meant that he was obeying orders. And we really didn't like that. We wouldn't say nigger, because that's not any more natural in our language than the Negro. It's, we don't talk hard like that. A lot of people would say negras. Negras was probably the most popular of saying, and also colored people. I remember one time I was asking an operator, black operator, if I could have the number of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And she pretended she didn't understand, because apparently at that point in history, colored people was some sort of put down. Again, you would really have to be through my life to understand, you know, the different times at which particular words were unfair or evil or so forth. And I said, and she thought, when I said the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, that I was putting her down. Because of that particular one in history, colored people was considered so evil. And of course, there was a time when saying black, a black person, was putting black people down. So it has nothing to do with the average black person who's sitting listening to this. I think if there are any black people listening to this, they take all this about as seriously as I do. But you have to remember, people get paid for this stuff. People get paid for telling you, you're supposed to say African American. Back then, they would, from colored people, which was the name of the organization, Then it became unpopular, and then they started using the word Negro. And let me tell you another thing. This was between white people. Southerners and Yankees didn't like each other much. And so, for a Northerner to be able to force a Southerner to say, Negro. Listen to the way I'm talking. I talk along, and I use a soft language and so forth, and then I say, and then we believe in these people, and then they're the Negroes. I mean, that sounds like a gong. Negroes. So, if they could force a Southern to say Negroes in the middle of his conversation, it was essentially making us grovel. Now, the one thing that never occurred to, since blacks were essentially the, were considered the faithful colored companions of liberals, the one thing that never occurred to them was that it's not natural for black people either. Black people talk more like me. Their language is soft. They use soft. Even their consonants are soft. And for a black person to say Negro is not very natural to his speech. And Stokely Carmichael got up there and he said, we're black. We're not Negroes. Well, he had a little different meaning, because Negro at the time meant sort of a little white man. The idea of the liberals was that every black man is basically a white man who's trying to get out. And they would be just like good little liberals if they were liberated and taught to be. Now, I sound like I'm joking. I'm not. A lot of times I sound like I'm joking. But what I was very grateful, you see, Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture, liberated me when he said black. Because black is a word I can use. I don't have to choose between offending people with Negra or all these other words. Black was a word I could pronounce. African American, which is the latest version. Remember, people make money off this stuff. Okay. I don't mind saying African American. Problem is, it's a little inaccurate because lately they had a some of the American black community mention that all these African Americans, they were talking about, we're not American. And of course, to the average liberal and the average respectful conservative, black is black. You know, they all look alike. So in the baseball games, there would be all this talk about African Americans, who which is the present word for black. And a bunch of black people noticed that what they were calling African Americans were Latin Americans with black skin. Well, this was sort of considered funny by the media. I mean, they were black, so that took care of that, right? I mean, how can a black man complain if somebody with a black skin is playing baseball? That's just fine. That takes care of your quota, that takes care of your non-discrimination, that takes care of the whole thing. And here were these African Americans who were complaining that these black skins were not African Americans, which of course is true. And I was talking before about my black heroes, and let me say one more time, please, 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 please do not confuse me with the average, with the white people who are always saying black heroes and black inventors and how guilty we are. It happens that some black people strike me as my kind of people. Let me tell you about one of them. There was a black lady, older black lady, although the word older means less and less as I myself accumulate years. And she was talking about, she didn't have anything against, she was out in California and they were interviewing her about some Mexican laborers. And she said, what bothers me about them is that when they do protests, they have the Mexican flag over them. They don't have our flag over them. You see, we are, although we are opposite ends of America, we've been fighting each other, we enslave them, and all that stuff, we still have a reasonable idea of what an American is as opposed to a non-American. At the beginning of the One World Series game, they had a great tribute to the Latin Americans who had become more and more a proportion of American baseball. Oh, we don't mind that. But then the spokesman of this wonderful thing said, I am speaking not only to Latin Americans who live in the United States, but to our brothers abroad. Now, what if I were to say, try this on for size. I would say, I am speaking not only to the Americans, to the white Americans, but to our brothers in Europe. I would be Hitler. I would be evil immediately. And I kind of appreciate black people who understand the same thing, that border in our country, regardless of how horribly we treated them, they have ended up, black people, like white people in this country, have ended up with a lot of benefits. And even if we hadn't, we're Americans. And so when a black person from the South says, well, you know, the South has treated me like a dog, but I still love it. I still love the South. That makes me feel good. It makes me feel like that's a fellow, a person close to me, a part of my family. And I, for one, appreciate it. This elderly lady said that these protesters had every right to protest, but why don't they use our flag? That made me feel warm all over, gang. And this is not paternalistic. This is not some sort of feeling of family. Black people are not exactly my people. My people are white. And I do make the distinction. But there are certain things we have in common. And it warmed my heart, like I say, when the Nation of Islam walks down those, I know I keep repeating this, but instead of sitting around in Chevy Chase, Maryland, bitching about the Confederate flag, the black community is threatened, and they put their own lives on the line. They don't get paid for it. They march down those halls, and that is the kind of, what do you call it? I hate the word macho because it's basically silly. And I consider it sort of American. I don't know if the Nation of Islam would appreciate being called American, but I like it. What they're doing is they personally are out there defending their own people. Stokely Carmichael met with, and I will never forgive myself for never having personally met the man, because I admired him, and he used to say that I was a genius. That happened, that every time he said I was a genius, it was because Bob Whitaker agreed with every word that he had already said. And, you know, we leaders, we writers, we're that way. But the man was a hero. I don't give you a damn whether he's any white or not. Let me tell you something about Kwame. He was pro-black, and he would put his life on the line, and he did. He died over there. So I don't want to get soppy about this, but there are certain black people I deeply appreciate. Even though I'm a man, you want to call me a racist? I want my race to survive. I don't want black males to consider themselves weapons against the survival of my race by attacking white women, by seducing white women. Red Fox, you say, I ain't got nothing to do with white women. And, see, that's where we part. Because Red Fox, I like. He said, I don't have nothing to do with white women. That was a statement of morality. That I can appreciate. So a lot of black, quote, leaders, unquote, would say, what Whitaker's really doing is being a racist because he doesn't want black genes in white people. Yeah, I don't want white genes in black people. Because, and especially since it only goes one way. The third world is pouring into white countries. And all this assimilation essentially means all this talk about any racism is any white. And if you want to look around, you'll find that the groups that call themselves anti-racist are generally Marxist, communist organizations. Yeah, I'm pro-white. I'm very much for my own people. But it will be a long, cold day in the bad place before I'm against black people. Black people raised me. And also, it's a, all right, now there's a rule I wanted to, from sort of intellectual rule. You see, the oldest rule in foreign relations, when you take an international relations course, you will find that it is the most natural thing in the world that the natural enemy of any country is the country next door. The Germans hate the French. The Poles hate the Germans. They got borders on each other. And so naturally, they are the competition with each other. And that's where the wars come from. In fact, there's a classic in international relations, a cuneiform tablet from Lord knows 1 or 2,000 BC. It's the first alliance, treaty of alliance. And, not surprisingly, it is an alliance between two countries that border on another country. In other words, sort of like the country in the middle is the enemy of the country on one side of it and the country on the other side of it. Those are the people they have the trouble with. Those are the people they hate. Those are the people they fight. Well, that's not too surprising. On the other hand, you know, white people and black people have been fighting each other forever. And the reason we've been fighting each other forever in the South is because we've been nose to nose in the South. But on the other hand, we know each other. Knowing each other is not loving each other. But if I sit down and start talking, it's easier for me to sit down and talk to somebody black from the South, and I can't speak for other people, but our sense of humor is alike. And the funny thing is, and the average sociologist will never understand this, the very fact that we have so much in common means that as groups, we probably hate each other. We probably have the nastiest relations you can have. All our wars were with our neighbors. And so the idea that we sort of love each other because we're able to talk to each other, because we think alike. I remember there was a National Review back in the 1970s. They had a survey of opinion. And two of the schools that they were surveying were the University of South Carolina and Howard University in Washington, which is a black university. And the amazing thing was that they were the two most similar in terms of attitudes. It's not exactly a shock. We've been living side by side for like 300 years. When it came to political views, certain political views, we were deadly and we were absolutely the opposite. Well, that's what you'd expect. We're in competition. We're nose to nose. We're fighting over things. But our general attitudes outside of the actual things that we were fighting each other about were very much similar. And National Review never quite understood the point. Germans and Frenchmen both consider, I was talking about before, people talking about me being African, black people talking about me being African. They're both European. Many of their attitudes are very similar. This does not mean they love each other. This does not mean that they are a community. It means that they share an awful lot together. But being human beings, one thing they share together is a certain enmity to each other. So the reason that Stokely Carmichael and I considered each other geniuses, I suppose, was because we thought the same way. The stuff that all the outsiders theorized about blacks and whites and southerners and black militants and so forth, we weren't theorizing about. That was our lives. And when I sit down, when I go on international flights, sometimes there'll be a black guy sitting there, and I'll say, other people would be talking about whether things are working well and how they could do things better, and I'm exhausted, and he's exhausted, and I'll turn around to him and say, are we having fun yet? And invariably, he will consider that sort of where we are. I mean, what can we do about it? But that's the way he and I think. His humor is like mine. If I were in the middle of an emergency and I didn't have white southerners around, I'd rather be around a black southerner. We react to things in much the same way. This is not love. This is not brotherhood. This is the weird fact that people who are often the deadliest enemies politically, in other ways, find it easiest to talk to each other. We're alike precisely because we're side by side. And side by side usually means enmity. But it also means a whole lot of sharing. A lot of people used to say, well, Southerners understand blacks. And I would try to explain to them, well, that's not quite true. And actually, there is a certain truth to it. But also, blacks understand whites. Blacks have spent over 300 years side by side with whites, white southerners, and of course their whole livelihood depended on understanding us. The word white trash came from black slaves. They looked at their masters like Thomas Jefferson. They said, now that's a big man. I don't like him, but that's a man. That's a man with a brain. Then they'd look at these whites, some of the whites, and they'd say, that's trash. So the bottom line here is not that Southerners understood blacks so much as the fact that blacks understood us so well. Once again, this is Porch Talk. This is not a theoretical point. That is why white trash hates black people in the South. And that is because they know that those black people, after 300 years, know exactly who they are. And they don't like it because they don't like who they are. So when you talk about the people who hate black people, you're talking about white trash. Because they know, those black people know exactly who they are. Well, let me finish this little commentary up with another little old southern thing that most people don't know about. I think you've heard about black people in the old South would call somebody like me, they'd say, Mr. Bob. And I had a buddy of mine, a black buddy of mine, he was born in West Columbia just like I was. He finally started calling me Mr. Bob. This was a mark of respect. This is a man, college graduate, the whole bit, but he still sort of liked his southern roots. And he finally awarded me the title of Mr. Bob. Now, let me tell you how that comes from, what that comes from. If a white person would walk up to George Washington and say, he would always say, General Washington, or President Washington. He'd be very respectful. And if a black person walked up to George Washington, he would say, you know, President Washington, or Mr. Washington, or Marse Washington, or whatever it was. Then there were a group, a very select group of black people who'd walk up and say, Mr. George. Now, to the average sociologist, he'd say, ah, that's just a black groveling on the floor before the man. What it meant was that this black man, unlike any white man or any, no matter how much they thought of him, any man who was a veteran of the wars could not call George Washington by his first name. That's why I was so flattered, because black people that I knew insisted on calling me Mr. Bob. The reason they called me Mr. Bob was to make it clear to everyone around me that they knew me when I was a kid. They knew me when I was in diapers. They knew me when I was Bob. Or they won't say Mr. Bobby just because they want me to feel bad. But if a black person walked up to and said Mr. George, he was making one hell of a claim. He was saying he knew George when he was a boy. Mr. George. What's funny to me is that people when I read about it, they always consider, outside the South, they always consider, somebody says, Mr. Bill, or Mr. Tom. If a black person in the days of white supremacy was being groveling on his stomach. So, like, actually, the other thing is, you know, when a black southern boy says, Mr. Whitaker, or Sir, so do the whites. We're very polite people. I'm an older man. And to a northerner, this sounds like he's being obsequious. He's being respectful. Anyway, I don't know if this is telling you anything. After all, this is porch talk. It's an old guy trying to say things that he thinks will entertain you. He's telling you what the truth is in his eyes. And I hope you will let me do it again later on.